First Corinthians, and it's chapter 3, verses 1 to 16. Brothers and sisters, I could not address you as people who live by the Spirit, but as people who are still worldly, merely infants in Christ. I gave you milk, not solid food, for you are not yet ready for it. Indeed, you are still not ready. You are still worldly. For since there is jealousy and quarreling among you, are you not worldly? Are you not acting like mere humans? For when one says, I follow Paul, another, I follow Apollos, who are you? Mere human beings, are you not? What after all is Apollos? What is Paul? Only servants through whom you came to believe, as the Lord has assigned to each his task. I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God has been making it grow. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. The one who plants and the one who waters have one purpose, and they will each be rewarded according to their labor. For we are co-workers in God's service. You are God's field, God's building. By the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as a wise builder, and someone else is building on it. But each one should build with care, for no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. If anyone builds on this foundation, using gold, silver, costly stone, wood, hay, or straw, their work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each person's work. If what has been built survives, the builder will be rewarded. If it is burnt up, the builder will suffer loss, but yet will be saved, even though only as one escaping through the flames. Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple, and that God's Spirit dwells in your midst? So reads the Word of God. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I pray that you'll open up this passage to you this morning, and Lord, that the message that you've laid in my heart will be heard from you, because we only want to hear from you this morning. Take Jerry Kelly out of it altogether, Lord. We only want to hear from you. Lord, help us to take hold of what we need to and to put it into our lives to help us to grow into mature Christians rather than infants. So I ask it all in and through your precious name, Jesus. Amen. I've entitled this morning's story, you know how I hate putting titles on God's Word, because it's like, I feel at times when you put a title, you're trying to put God into a box. But this is true this morning. It's one that we've been singing about. Glory belongs to the Lord. And that's what the title of the message is. From the passage we've just read this morning, we have learned that some of the Corinthian church were being rebuked by Paul for glorifying the messenger rather than the Lord. And all the message is from the Lord. It doesn't matter what men say. Whoever puts the water on, waters the plant, but it's the Lord that makes it grow. And it's no different. If we're not careful, you know, we can fall into the same trap as the Corinthians did. I'm sure from time to time we have all heard it said by people, oh, so-and-so's a great preacher, and this one's a great preacher. And the preachers seem to be getting all the glory. But not very often you hear something about the Word that's being preached. And the Word, I think it's us humans, we like to get our ears tickled at times rather than to actually take hold of the subject of the Word, because sometimes it's like a tough steak, you need to chew it. And sometimes we're lazy, we just want to be spoon-fed. And I think that's what Paul was getting at here to the Corinthians, that they wanted to be spoon-fed and they weren't thinking for themselves and taking on what the Lord was saying to them. It's important that we take notice of what the Lord is saying to us. In the Bible, we read that the glory of God was clearly displayed. In the Old Testament, we are told that the glory of God went in front of the Israelites during the Exodus. It led them through the wilderness in the form of a cloud by day and a fire at night. You know, there are times when we need to look to the Lord to be led. Because sometimes we try to do things in our own way. It's like me going out in the car. If I don't put the sat nav on and I'm going somewhere I haven't been before, I'll get lost. Because I can't read a map and drive at the same time. But if you listen to the sat nav is normally quite good. It might tell you you're on the right side, the wrong side of the road at times, but it's normally quite good. And we can be just the same. If we don't listen to the Lord, we can end up going along the wrong path. So we need to be switched in, tuned in to what the Lord is saying to each of us. There are times when we will well recognize the glory of God through maybe an encounter, an experience. You know, and when we do have that spiritual encounter, we can feel God's presence more closely. We may find it difficult to explain or to express this experience in words to other people. The truth is that the glory of God, it really is the presence of a person, the Holy Spirit, in each of our lives. That is the experience that we have. You know, God in person. When we experience His presence, the overwhelming realization that God Almighty is near. So near, in fact, that we can almost reach out and touch Him. You know, then we know that we've experienced and had an experience of God's glory. You'll feel the warmth of His love. You'll feel the comfort of His peace. And the cares of this world will just seem simply to disappear, because we know that this world can do nothing to us. But because if we're with the Lord, our future's secure. We need to realize that religion has nothing to do with being loved by the Lord. It's got nothing to do with performance either. Let's look at what James tells us about the meaning of religion for Christians as we read from James 1, verses 22 to 27. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. Those who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless. The religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. You know, quite clear, straightforward word there from James. And what James is simply saying is about following in Jesus' footsteps, being exactly like our Lord. And that's what we're called to do. Those who know and love the Lord, we're supposed to grow into His likeness. We need to do everything as if we are in the presence of God, because God is always with us. He sees everything we do. We can't do anything in the dark because He brings everything into the light. His word teaches us that we should practice compassion and charity towards the poor and the distressed, just as Jesus did. It also teaches us that although we live in this world, that we are not of this world. As Christians, we are called to have a gracious heart, to walk humbly, and to watch our tongue, because we know that the tongue is the most dangerous weapon, and Satan is looking forward to using our tongue for all sorts of mischief. We cannot hope to do this, though, in our own strength. And that's why God, in his wisdom, because only God has wisdom. We might think we're wise, but we're not. Only God in his wisdom, and that's why he gave us the Holy Spirit as our helper, because he knew that we weren't capable of coping on our own. So he hasn't left us on our own. He's given us the Holy Spirit to help us and to guide us. How does he do this? God has laid down a moral code, the commandments. In fact, most of the laws of this world originate from the commandments. We've read in that hymn that we saw up on the screen, history, his story. It is, that's where history is, his story, the Lord's story. The Omega and the beginning and the end. He knows it all. History is the Lord's story. You know, and they are our roadmap that he lays out for us. Our cloud by the day and our fire by night, as it were. And all we have to do is to follow it if we hope to share in his blessing and to reach our home destination at the end of our lives, or when he comes and takes us, calls us into the sky as his own. That is, if we have accepted Jesus as our Saviour. If you're listening to this morning and you haven't already accepted Jesus as your Saviour, you haven't put your trust in him, then now is the time to do it. Jesus himself tells us in John 14 and verse 6, when asked, what way? He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Now we need to remember that our God is a jealous God, and he demands our full attention at all times, as we can read in Exodus 20 and verse 3. You shall have no other gods before me. Now note, this is not a suggestion. This is a commandment. This is a direction from God. You shall have no other gods before me. Again in Exodus 20, just on a couple of verses to verse 7, we read, you shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. See, God's character depends on his name. His name is holy. His name is worthy of our praise. And you know, it demands our loyalty. And it's important that we as believers demonstrate that loyalty. In the Old Testament, we read that the Egyptians and other neighboring nations of the Israelites, they had many gods, and they worshipped things like the sun, the moon, stars, living creatures, and other inane objects. In fact, anything that took their fancy, anything that they could make out of wood, gold, silver, stone, didn't matter. Something that was innate, could do nothing, but yet they done it. And the children of Israel, at times, were led astray by these other nations. Now we must guard ourselves against acting in that way and breaking that commandment, and make sure that we always put God first in our lives. We must give him all the honor and praise due to him. If we don't, then we may very well, in fact, probably would, become boastful, thinking that we can do anything we want, we can do it our way, and get away with it. Now that would make us very proud, and pride, we're told pride is one of the deadly sins. Pride is actually making a god of self. That's what pride is, and that's why it's a deadly sin, because one of the worst things you can fall into. Covetousness makes us a god of money and possessions. Sensuality makes us a god of the body. Whatever we esteem, love, fear or delight in, or depend upon more than God, that whatever it is we do, we make a God of. In the Bible, God makes it quite plain. I, the Lord, your God, am a jealous God. God wants us and demands that we worship him alone. We put our trust in him, and he will provide all our needs and then some. In all areas of our lives. Yes, I hear you say, but we need money, don't we? Yeah. Can't do without money. Can't get much without money. It's useful. We need it to buy our food, to buy our clothes, to buy books, etc., etc. There's nothing wrong with having money, so long as we come by it honestly, i.e. work for it, earn it, not pinch it. It is the love of money. That's where the sin comes in, and the love, because we're making a god of it. Remember the parable Jesus told about the rich young man who came to him asking what he must do to be saved, to have eternal life? And in Matthew 19:21-22, we read, Jesus answered him, "If you want to be perfect, go sell your possessions and give it to the poor, and you will have treasures in heaven. Then come and follow me." Then the young man heard this. He went away sad because he had great wealth. You know, it wasn't the fact that he had money that the Lord was pointing out to him, but the fact that his love of the money proved stronger than his love to do the will of God. He could not see life without his wealth. His wealth meant more to him than eternal life. The Bible tells us that it is more blessed to give than to receive. Now this applies not only to our money, but also to our time, our thoughts, and our prayers. It's important that we maintain regular contact through prayer and listen to the Lord's directions. And more importantly, that we follow them. Because if somebody's given you directions and you ignore them, you can find yourself going down a one-way street the wrong way and ending up in front of a bus. And in life, it can be much more severe than that. Because the Lord wants to direct you in the way that you should go. And if we operate within his will, we will enjoy his blessings. You know, there's one thing that's sure to block God's blessings from all of us, and that is our lack of forgiveness. As in the Lord's Prayer that we said this morning, we all know it so well. In fact, it demands that we forgive others in order to receive God's forgiveness. We must not only forgive, but we should endeavor to do as God does if we are to grow more like a son, and that is to forget as well. Sometimes it's very hard to forget. It's easy to forgive, but it's very hard to forget because we're human. And you always remember, oh, I remember when such and such said this. Even though you've forgiven them, Satan's on your shoulder and he's pointing out, oh, you remember the time so-and-so done this? It's hard to do. But you know, with God's help, we are told nothing is impossible. You know, as I told you yesterday, we had a visit from our granddaughter and great-granddaughter. And it was lovely just to watch a four-year-old had total trust and faith and belief in what her mum was telling her, what her grand was telling her, and what her granddad was telling her. And she was completely relaxed. because she had faith in us. And that's the faith that we need to have in our Heavenly Father, because He loves us a lot more than, God forbid, I love my granddaughter or my great-granddaughter or even my wife. He loves us with a love which is beyond explanation. I could not put it into words. But I've got a few questions. I'm going to leave you now. You'll be pleased to know we're going to have an early break so you can get out into the garden and sing if you want to. I want to leave you with four questions. Do you enjoy God's forgiveness? Now, if you're a Christian, it goes without saying, because it's one of the best feelings you'll ever have. Do you enjoy His grace? We all enjoy His grace, because without His grace, we are lost. We would be doomed. Do you enjoy His peace, that peace that passeth all understanding? Again, it's hard to put into words. It's hard to explain. It's an experience that you've got to, you know yourself. It's within your spirit. Do you enjoy a real passion for God? Do you accept that you have got the blessed assurance of eternal life? If you can answer yes to all of those, then hallelujah. But if you're struggling with any of those, I would ask you to seek God's help and ask Him to direct you and to show you what you need to do to get right with Him. You know, because He loves you so much, as John 3:16 says, that He sent His one and only Son, so that whosoever believes in Him, and whosoever believes in Him, it doesn't matter whether you're rich, poor, vagrant, whatever, whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. So with that, just let's come to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your word. Lord, we pray that You will forgive us when we fail You. Lord, we ask that You would lift us up and increase our faith this morning, enabling us to really understand that You, and only You, are worthy of our praise and our worship. Lord, You do so much for each one of us. And Jesus, we really do want to lift Your name on high and to build Your kingdom here in this little place of ours, Coningsby, and the surrounding villages. And we cannot do this without Your help. Lord, we ask that You will empower us and enable us to be good and faithful witnesses for You, and that through our witnessing, that this building will be full. And it might even require us to extend it to cater for the numbers that You're going to send along here to worship with us. Lord, none of this would be possible without You. So Lord, we say yes. Make us fishers of men, for we ask all this through the name of Your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.